Good morning. Let's pray. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, as we continue on looking at this Sermon on the Mount, dear Father, we pray that we'll catch a vision of what Jesus is trying to say here today. So encircle us with your Spirit. Give to us your grace that we may see Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Matthew 5, come with me there. And today we're looking at verses 11 and 12, which simply say, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Verse 11 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you." You know, when you look at what's being said here, it's not really a good thing. No one likes the idea of being put down. No one likes the idea of being persecuted. No one likes the idea of being tried for their faith. We all like the easy path. We like to think that life will go well for us all. And so to be told this thought, it's hard to take. And yet the start of this verse says that we are blessed. Blessed. If we take it. How does this measure up with the reality of life? What do other Bible texts say about this one? Luke chapter 6. Come with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke 6 and verse 22 says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." Not nice. Not nice. 1 Peter chapter 2. Come with me there. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 19. "For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully." 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14. "But, and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." 1 Peter chapter 4. And verse 14 again says, "But if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God rested upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified." As we read these verses, we find that people can suffer for their faith. That people can become a reproach for Jesus. That people do suffer for the name of Jesus. That to follow Jesus may not necessarily mean an easy road. But you see, when we choose to follow Jesus, we are given a promise. We are given a promise. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Beautiful promise. Beautiful promise. Job, the Old Testament, Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5. Job chapter 5 and verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth, therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs 3 verse 11. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. You know, this is a challenge, isn't it? That when we are being chastened by things that are around us, we are not to despair. Don't despair. Take the hand of Jesus, hold on to him, knowing that he will be there with you, for you. And that in him there is hope for us all. But not only that he is there for us all, but that he loves you. He loves you. You see, we need to remember that God is love. God is love. Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. You see, in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5, it is not Mark chapter 5, but I just looked at. Matthew 5, verse 11. It begins with, blessed are ye. Blessed are ye. How hard is it to believe that? Blessed are ye. But you see, we must believe it. And we do believe it. And to that we add the fact that as we're holding onto his hand every day, we know we're safe. But of course, what we all need is a foundation to hold our faith onto. What is that foundation? What is the foundation we can have? 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, we find a beautiful foundation. 1 John chapter 4. And in verse 19, we have a simple statement that we love him because he first loved us. That we love Jesus because Jesus first loved us. Verse 15 adds this part. 1 John 4 verse 15. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. Beautiful relationship. God dwelling in us. God walking with us. God loving us. God having a deep love for us. And yes, God wants us to love him. Love of God is there with us every day in every situation that we face. I'm reminded of the wonderful thought in the book Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, page 32. This beautiful sentence. Christ is acquainted with all that is misunderstood and misrepresented by men. His children can afford to wait in calm patience and trust, no matter how much maligned and despised, for nothing in secret that shall not be made manifest. And those who honour God shall be honoured by him in the presence of men and angels. You see, that's a promise that is made. And it's a promise we can hold on today if we by faith take hold of the hand of the one who has made that promise for us each one. The promise is real. It's real. 1 John chapter 4, verse 10 and 11 says, herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Yep. We're loved by God. We are loved by the whole of heaven, that heaven is looking down to us with a very keen interest in all that we are going through. We're not alone as we sometimes think that we are, but in reality there is a God above who is watching over us all. And today, he's still doing that. He's still watching over you. I guess the question is, but have we found that love? Do we know that love? Are we living in that love today? Matthew chapter 5. You know, in the first 11 verses, we are given a list of different groups of people to consider. People who are being tried for their faith in different ways. Each situation is real. And for the people in verse 11, they again are tried and tested. Yet the promise is given that they are still there, God is still there with them, that he loves them. But yet, there is still that question. What's the hope? What's the hope for us all who follow and believe in him? And then we come to verse 12. Matthew 5, verse 12. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Rejoice, be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You know what wonderful words we are being told here, that there is a reward, it's a great reward. That we should be glad. And great will be the reward in heaven. Really? 1 Peter chapter 4. Here Peter makes an observation which is interesting. 1 Peter chapter 4, 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. The words of Peter, reminding us that yes, trials will come, but hey, don't worry about it. The reward is there. The reward is great. Jesus has promised something for you that is special. Special to see. Special to receive. But you think, hang on a minute. Can't we avoid the trial bit? Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, 16 and 17, we read these words. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We like that. If children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so, be that we suffer with him, that we may also be also glorified together. Challenge. Yes, we are the children of the King. We are part of the family of God. And at first light, that's all very lovely and wonderful. But there is a part we need to remember. You see, Jesus suffered for us. Jesus suffered terribly for us. And as part of the family of God, we can be called upon to go through suffering with him. And if we are willing to walk, to do his bidding, then there will come a time when we shall be glorified with him in the new earth. And this is a challenge. Do we like to suffer? Would there be any of us who are willing to suffer, or would we rather avoid that bit and change the rules to suit? Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. For here in this verse, there is a challenge which is given. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 29. For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. What a challenge. that we are willing to walk the path that Jesus took, to know what it means to suffer, that we be willing to face the trials of life. That as we face these trials, we are growing in Him to be better co-workers for Him and to be worthy of a place in heaven. That in all this, we are growing in Jesus. I guess we could ask the question, but have you done any growing in Jesus this week? Back to Matthew. Back to Matthew chapter 5. In verse 12 it says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Then it adds, "For great is your reward in heaven." Great is your reward. But what is heaven like? Is the reward really worth holding on to God for? What kind of picture do we get of heaven in the Bible? Revelation 21. Revelation 21. Revelation 21, and beginning with verse 1, we get a picture of what we can expect. "And I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away.' And he that sat upon the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said unto me, 'Write, for the words are true and faithful.' And he said unto me, 'It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely.'" What a hope. What a wonderful hope we have. What a sight it is all going to be. And the promise is given that we can see it all. New heaven, new earth. That's our hope, isn't it? A holy city where God will be there. No more tears. No more pain. All these things will be done away with forever. Everything is brand new. But a thought to ponder. Revelation 21, verse 7. "He that overcometh all things, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God. He shall be my son." You know, the promise is given that all who choose to overcome will be there. That all who choose to make Jesus their Lord and Master and are faithful to Him will see the things that God has prepared. All things are made for those who are faithful. For all who overcome and are in Jesus, heaven is yours. Revelation 22. Revelation 22, 12 to 14. Jesus says, "And behold, I come quickly. And my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city." What wonderful words. What wonderful hope. Jesus is coming again, and if we are faithful, we will enjoy the things that he has prepared for the faithful and the blessed. The reward is there for each one. It is there for you as it is there for me. So take hold of Jesus. Take hold of his hand and do not let go. Don't be worried when things go against you. Hold on to Jesus. Believe in him. He is real. He wants you in heaven with him. So I guess the question is what do we do with him? Are we going to walk with Jesus? Do we walk away? Only you can answer that one. Now, dear kind Heavenly Father, what a wonderful, glorious moment that will be when Jesus will come and we can then go home with him. May we each keep faithful to you, dear Lord. May we keep our eye on the prize and never walk away from you. Dear Father, we want to see Jesus. With the way the world is going, we need to have that hope. So for the week that lies ahead, may we go forward in faith with that hope burning in our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.